Before Wasabi, we had I got some stuff from Yes Asia.
Deep
We had
discount. Deep
discount,
discount.
was it?
Oh, deep discount. I'm pretty sure it's deep discount and somewhere else.
There was
Movie
another American
time.
for movie
Movie
time.
time.
Yes, we had movie time.
Yes. We had movie time.
Oh,
They were
these are blasts
great.
from the past.
Hello and welcome to Screen Time. Tonight I'm joined by 10 out of 10 Simon Crust.
Hello, everybody. And just before we start, I want to say a quick hello to my son Ben, who I've just recently heard is watching me and listening to me as I talk about this stuff. So, hello, Benny. Good to see you, mate. We'll talk about it our next time we'll see you. Who knows when this is
Oh
going out?
man,
So, we have one fan. That's pretty cool,
no,
yeah?
we have two. My dad sometimes watches it
Oh,
if he can
awesome.
find the link. And also by A star Mark Costello.
Right,
Do
and Ben, just seriously, get a
Well,
hobby. You don't want to be watching this crap,
we can talk about
honestly.
that because th this might be the best year to get into 4K disc collecting.
Yeah, but it's
Yeah,
not the
maybe
best year to get
not.
into
Or maybe
watching
not.
middle-aged farts talking about 4K disc collecting, is it? Well, maybe it
Okay.
is. I
Good
don't know.
shout out. Hi,
Anyway,
Ben.
hi. Hi, Ben. Hi, everyone.
Tonight, we're looking at our best 4K and digital recommendations, some of the advantages and disadvantages of titles on the format, yet another 4K and digital smash up, because every month there appears to be some kind of semi-controversy as to what you can see and where and how it looks better and why. We're going to try and answer the question, is 2025 a good time to get into 4K disc collecting? No. The
Depends
team
if you
are
got deep
also
pockets.
we're also going to celebrate decades, I mean decades of reviewing. Two of us, I'm not going to say two because it would give away our age. Two of us are celebrating over 20 years of reviewing. We're going to discuss why we review and how we got into reviewing. I mean, yeah, it's probably a pretty short story. At the end. Yeah.
Are you
First
still with
up,
us, Ben? Are you still with us? No, he's turned off already.
Let's look at our supporters and what they can win. New patrons, Techmate and Ragnarok, thank you. Bought us a coffee. Plinky, Donacha, Bruce Leroy, and someone, that elusive someone.
Thank
Thank you
you.
very much. Right, 4K recommendations. Now, as usual, if you want the full reviews, head over to the site. They're all on there. We're going to sling through these just with numbers. Well, a couple of words as well, but don't let that confuse
The
you.
words are quite important.
Are they really? The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, really, they do. Mark, Cobra, hit me with Cobra.
I'm going to hit you with a 7 for the film. I mean, that's quite controversial because there could Yes, be
way too high.
anywhere between a 3 and an 11, quite frankly.
I think seven's kind of right. I mean, seven
It's all
feels
right.
about right.
It's all
It's
right.
utter
Bang on average.
nonsense, but
It's all right. Picture, very good. It gets 9 out of 10. Very soft focus, so it doesn't look the best in the pantheon of great 4K restorations, but it now looks how it should. Audio pretty good, same old repurposed 5.1 remix, so that gets an 8 out of 9. And extras are brilliant, 9 out of 10 because it's Arrow. So overall, a 9 out of 10, and everyone should own it.
Yeah, a quick look at average check suggests that you're out by 0.5. But anyway,
Well,
just saying,
do
just
you know what?
saying.
We make average check a new thing, and then we have to explain our variances to average. Good God, am I in my day job now?
Would be crazy. Imagine if there was somewhere that did explain our variances to
Oh,
average.
it's madness.
More, anyway, more on that later. Old Dark House. Old Dark House.
Dale Darkhouse, James Whale, 1930, sandwiched it between his Frankenstein. I know he sandwiched it between, I think it was The Invisible Man and Bride of Frankenstein, I think. It's the classic old Darkhouser. It does exactly what it said on the tin. Pretty good. Bit of Karloff in there, not enough Karloff in there. Some
Never enough Karloff.
strange humor type thing. But it's an effective little film. What is more than effective is the 4K restoration on it. It looks amazing for a film that is over 90 years old. Absolutely fantastic. Audio nicely cleaned up as well. Same extras as the previous Eureka set, which is very good. So overall, it gets a strong 8 out of 10.
Nice.
It was.
The Stuff.
Oh,
Yeah,
what a
I know.
film. What a film.
That sounds tremendous. I'm not sure. I mean, I suppose this goes with the same sort of seven that Cobra gets. It just gets it's
Well,
the
no, the thing with the stuff is you can see that Larry Cohen was trying to do what George Romero was doing in his sort of satirization. But I think he just decided at the halfway point to just say, sod it. I'm just going to embrace the silliness of killer sentient yogurt. And so, if he
Sorry,
picked a
you mean he was
lane,
trying to take it seriously to begin
I think he was. I think if he
with?
picked a lane, could have done something a little bit more consistent, but as it is, it's just great VHS fodder. Again, another great 4K restoration. It looks fantastic. And I think a lot of people assume low budget is going to equal low picture quality. Not at all. Not at all. It looks
Shot on
fantastic.
film. Shot on
Shot
film.
on film. Good original lossless audio track. Extras. It's an interesting one, the extras on this. You get a brand new cut of the film. Pre-release cut, which adds in nearly half an hour of extra stuff, all of which makes the film
Actual
infinitely
stuff.
worse. Actual stuff, including some really silly stop motion stuff, which doesn't look great. But there's some really meaty extras on it. One of which is a great documentary on the 42nd Street Grindhouse Cinemas in New York City that was previously released by 88 Films. So overall, that is a strong 8 out of 10 there. So yeah, good. Duff.
Nice.
See what I did
Very
there?
nice. Yes, I mean,
That's
I kind of did,
right.
but I
That's
just
right.
moved right
Subtle.
past it.
Subtle.
Cohen wouldn't have been proud.
Not really.
Simon,
Hello.
Hearts of Darkness.
Hearts of Darkness, yes. So the two films I'm doing tonight, neither of which are live, but they will be by the time this goes out, probably, maybe. Don't know. Anyway.
Yes, they will.
Hearts of
Hopefully.
Darkness, yes, very, very interesting documentary on the making of Apocalypse Now. Some say as good as Apocalypse Now, in the fact that what it goes through, it's more less a making of, and more watching madness unfold. Watching someone who is so passionate about a project just turning to insanity and come back and save it. Oh, it's visible to patrons, I'm being told. Very good. Oh, there you are. See. That's a good idea to become a patron. You get early access. I'd forgotten all about early access. Must be getting old.
Yeah,
So yes,
but it'll
I
really
gave
annoy
the
people with the scores, though. Because
well,
I'm going to say you gave it 99998
I did.
overall.
Yes, I
And
did.
imagine a patron who has early access to the review but
But
can't
can't
comment.
become just foaming at the mouth and
They
can't say what's
can't,
going on.
they can't jump in and go, wait, 99998.
But you see, there is a reason for that.
I know, I know. You
And
know, I know.
it's in the review.
Yeah. Don't spoil
Weirdly.
it. Don't
Weirdly.
spoil it. Yeah, I
Yeah.
know. Zombie Flesh Eaters.
Zombie Flesh Eaters. Oh, we did laugh. What a film. When you handed this to me, when was it, a couple of weeks ago?
In
And I
person.
said the name, and my dear wife laughed. What was my reply? It's a
Get
classic.
out. Yeah, it's
It's
a
a classic.
classic.
It's a
No,
classic because
it's
it's
a
a
classic.
classic.
Yes.
And I
No
did
one
have to
believed
watch it
you,
by
but.
myself, of course. I mean, it is a classic of the genre. Absolutely brilliant film. I love it to bits. I think I mean, I've given this one a 9 across the board. It's a weird one though, because this particular version, which I'm showing on screen now for those of you who are listening, the Blue Underground version, was released something like 5 years ago, and I've had it just about that time. And this is kind of unbeatable. But the Arrow go one step further. I mean, it's probably I don't have the release notes from Arrow, but I assume it's probably based off the same 2020 master
Master.
that this was. And they've just done their usual encode, which is generally one of the best you can get on any of these discs. And between the two picture qualities, I mean, I'll review the film, and I also go into the differences between this and the Arrow. A few sentences at the end of each, just so people have got an idea of what the differences are. I would say that the picture on the Blue Underground is marginally, a gnat's teeny tiny knackers darker than the Arrow, which may give it an element of being slightly better. But I mean, for all intents and purposes, they're pretty much identical. Where the Blue Underground one does win out, of course, is it's got all the different soundtracks, whereas the Arrow's only got the two, the Dolby Atmos and the original mono, both of which are great. I prefer, I don't know, I couldn't pick between them actually. They're both really, really good. They've both got full extras, full set of extras. They are different, but they all cover much the same ground, so you can't really split the two on that. Really, I'm not sure you can split the two. I mean, if you've already got this, do you need to double dip? Well, probably. I mean, in the review, I said probably not, but thinking about it now, with that cover artwork, with the hand coming out, which was on the Vipco strong uncut version, which was of course cut because they're bastards. It's just worth having for that because
I mean,
it's a classic of the genre. It's just
we
a
have a case in point, don't we? Because Mark took one look at your review and went, yeah, I'm going to have to order that even at pain of Arrow postage just
Six
for the
quid
cover.
postage, Arrow. Six quid postage. What are you playing at, you monkeys? Sorted. I still bought it anyway, but still,
But
angrily
still,
and clankily, I bought it.
very nice, very
But
nice.
yeah,
Thanks.
nine across the boards on that one. It was,
Nice.
I thought about dropping it or putting it up or down the verdict just because I mean it's so great, but when compared to this, but it's nines across the board, has to be.
You could just
One neat.
messed with people and given it nines across the board and then like a one.
No, you can't. There's no way. There's no way. The disc is worth the money. And if you don't have that, don't have the Blood on the Ground, then you have to get the Arrow. It's just a, one of the best zombie films out there. Just
Very
fantastic.
nice. Very nice. I covered Sorcerer, as Friedkin's. For my money, lots of hot takes. I enjoy it more than Wages of Fear, which I think is outstanding. But I think Friedkin, in a very Hearts of Darkness like way, it was just the right time to make this kind of film. Really went excess, really tried to kill all his cast. Really, really did stuff to the story to make it an epic when really it shouldn't have been, and it didn't make any sense to be from the original movie, but it worked perfectly in the end. I think it's one of my favorite Friedkin movies. Yeah, I just love it to death. Sorcerer, that's out from Criterion. They got three nines, a 10, and a 10 overall. Get that maths. That was good. Those extras must be so good. I tell you, they lifted everything else up. But to be fair, the nine for movie, I vary between a nine and a 10 for the film. You
Is it
know,
because you
it's.
secretly gave the extras 10.4,
Yeah,
and
probably.
that's what dragged it up to a 10 average? It's maths,
Yeah.
Kaz. That's all it is. It's simple maths. 1, 2, 3, four,
Obviously,
five, six,
simple
seven, eight,
maths.
nine, 10, 11, 12.
Oh,
The Way of the
awesome.
Gun. Now, The Way of the Gun was an odd one. If you want to get The Way of the Gun, you gotta go through some effort on this.
You gotta jump through some
Mark,
hoops.
did you manage to get yours?
I didn't, because considering I decided to order the Vinegar Syndrome Ultra version of Mac and Me.
Oh my
Right, so let me get this straight. You didn't get Way of the Gun. This is Chris McQuarrie's directorial debut, starring Benicio del Toro and Ryan Phillippe. Okay, blistering action, fabulous score, proper
Favorite opening
modern
scene
day
of
noir.
all time.
Absolutely tremendous opening scene. And you ordered Mac and Me
Mac
instead.
me.
So, two words, Harlow. Did you not listen to last month's podcast? Magna
Magnet
class.
class.
That's it,
Okay,
mate.
sure. Well,
See, do you know what? That's it.
this one is a lovely steelbook. I had no interest in promoting the steelbook until, as seems to be the case recently, you have it in hand and you're like, oh, that's better than I expected. There are people who I think did the artwork for the Kill Bills. I think it comes out much better for
Say
The
they
Way
were
of the Gun.
terrible.
Yeah, but there's no pink here. And I think the sort of the pink
That
vomit
helps.
thing, yeah, it kind of helps. I thought the colours really work for this. It's got a lenticular slip, which shows them with the guns kind of down and then shooting and bullets whizzing across. It's a very nice effect.
Nice.
And it's got a fold-out steelbook inside, which is a double art connected. I mean,
Don't most steelbooks open. thousand, just
No,
you know,
one
just
pan,
the
single panel of art.
right,
So
okay.
Benicio del Toro
We
on the
need to score
background would.
packaging.
We do, but it would really screw with averages. I really love the movie. Huge fan of it. I always have been. I do think it's got arguably one of the best openings of all time, and very nice throwback to sort of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, only done with a lot of
Wary and
swearing
all
and
the
a lot of
automatic weapons.
violence and automatic weapons. Very, very nice modern updating. Some of the dialogue is just fantastic. It's just, really.
I will get it. Of course, I will.
You can
You
tell that boy
you
did well.
have
the opening bit, before it even gets into the main meat of the plot, seems almost improvised. It's like Benicio del Toro and Ryan Phillippe are bumming around trying to make money where they can, and they go to a donor facility and they're asked a bunch of questions about their eligibility to donate. And the questions are kind of regular. And they say, they come up with their own. Benicio del Toro, in particular, he sits there and he goes, "Well, I've never killed a man." And the guy goes, "I didn't ask you that." And he goes, "Have you ever asked anyone that?" And the guy goes, "No." He goes, "Well, you should." And then a little bit later, he goes, "I never had sex with a dead body." And the guy goes, "What? I didn't ask you that." He goes, "You should." And just really, really nice, very offbeat humor. And Benicio del
Yes.
Toro, he's the only person in the world who could make that middle parting cool. He's just the epitome of cool. They also trained with weapons, with Macquarie's Navy SEAL brother,
Yeah.
and the
It
weapon
shows.
handling
It really
is,
shows.
it really does. They counted the bullets.
Well, apart from one short scene, but yeah.
Apart from one short scene where they purposefully
Purposely
leant
went
into it and
over
just,
the top.
they shot 1,000 rounds into one guy. But other than that, they're literally counting the bullets and reloading on handguns, on everything. And some of the weapons handling is just so smooth and so well done. Anyway, that gets 9 9 10 8 9 for whatever that
That's
means.
a phone number, isn't it?
Yeah,
For
don't
that
dial it.
donor facility that you were talking about.
Yeah. I didn't kill anyone. Last one is Sinners.
Ooh.
It's a big one. I mean, Mark gave it 10. I came very close. I mean, he's pushing it as film of the year. I'm pretty
Ooh.
close to that.
I'm not seeing it.
I have enjoyed a lot of films. Si, you would love it.
I'm sure I would.
You would love this movie. I went really, really hard in the review on trying to avoid talking about what it's about,
Ah,
and even lent into comparing it to
I just
other
spoilt it straight
movies.
out.
I
Right.
know you did,
Now
and that's
you did.
fine. That's fine because it does it in the trailer, but I don't watch trailers. And on the off chance that people have similarly not watched trailers, because I didn't know about it until I read re your proofed your review, ironically. But I think that people could go into it relatively blind and be nicely surprised. It's for me, I compared it to Brotherhood of the Wolf in that it's a
Ooh.
massive genre mashup. It's
Yep.
got
Okay.
period racial tension, KKK, Mississippi, gangsters with Tommy guns, Duke joint music, proper nice heady feel to it. Everything's very sultry and sumptuous and oozing. It's just, I mean, it's glorious. And then it's got violence and horror and survival thrills. I mean, it's very nicely handled. And smack in the middle has got a musical section, which is practically out of a musical, the likes of which I've never seen before. It finds a way of blending classics across time in a way that still makes sense in movie, which I have never ever seen. He flips aspect ratios, so the broad open sort of plains of the Mississippi Delta, the open fields. It's a wide expanse, and he goes, I think 275, which is, really wide.
That's big, yeah.
And then he goes 178, for the claustrophobic juke joint and the major set pieces. Real sense that you're locked in, there's horror. I mean, it's very, very visually and aurally, it's one of those special movies. And the cross genre blend. I mean, like I mentioned, Brotherhood of the Wolf, not many movies can do this.
No.
And there are a couple of others that, totally give away all of the spoilers, but there's vibes of The Thing in there. There's
Angel
vibes of
Heart.
other.
It's Angel Heart. That's what's in there as well.
Oh, I love Angel Heart. Yes, I can see that. Definitely the vibe of Angel Heart, the way it creates this really moody, intoxicating setting, lived in characters and feel, and then does a proper spin.
And Hayley Steinfeld is the new Lisa Bonet.
She is fabulous in it. It's really nice that she got a role like that. And double Jordans, proper Van Damme style. Love
Well,
it.
not quite proper Van Damme style.
Well,
Not
okay, it's got
quite.
no kicking, but I mean,
So
anyway,
therefore it's not proper Van Damme.
it is true, is true. I would say, Simon, you'd love it. I would say everyone should watch this film.
Cool.
That's my recommendation of the quarter. Digital. Oh, you want numbers? I have to do numbers. 9, 10,
I
10,
was going to
8,
say,
10.
you basically made us say no words, just to the numbers, and
And
then
then
you've sat and
quarter
done
of an
nothing
hour.
but numbers after 20 minutes. After nothing but words after 20 minutes, you've finally remembered the numbers.
I
It's all a
did. I
cunning plan,
did.
Crust. He just wants to
I
steal the
know.
show,
I
honest.
suppose
Outrageous.
I wanted to talk Sinners because you covered it at the cinema, and I really struggled because you said everything that needed to be said in your movie review when you covered it at the cinema, and I had to do it again without ChatGPT and try and say it without tipping the twist, as it were. And it's surprisingly hard to do.
Without tipping the twist.
So that's why we talked about it. But you said it
Yes.
was like your film of the year. I
Yeah.
guess I want to give it more than just numbers. Everything else
Fine, fair
numbers.
enough then. Fair enough. That's fine.
Digital recommendations. Mark, Sandman.
Yes, I'm giving that a 9 out of 10 after the first 6 episodes,
And look, the first season, just give me some grounding here. The first season,
Okay,
you would
I've
have
watched
given
one episode
what?
of the first season and what?
Right.
Really?
So I quite liked the first season, but it was too big, too messy. The structure didn't quite work. The
Okay.
second season corrects that to a point. The second season still takes, in essence, the 6 episodes are really 2 3-episode stories that flow into each
Okay.
other. But they're much narrower in focus. They are more personal to Morpheus, more personal to him. It makes for a more focused narrative from which to hang all that beautiful imagery off. But I think for me, what's so great about it is one of the only things I've ever watched that gives me the same feel of when I am reading a fantasy novel. You know when you're reading that
Cool.
book, and then and it, you can almost picture it in your head, and that yet there's pages of epic description followed by huge, you've got that strange blend of the intimate and the massive, the detail and the sprawling in a
And this
novel.
nails it.
This to me, watching these episodes, it's the nearest thing I've got that gives me that same feel. I
So
loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
like
Are
Gun
you listening, Tom?
Superman. Are you listening?
Tom's probably watched it. He's gone, it's a bit pile of old arse. 4 out of 10.
I really like the first season, but I do agree that it lacked cohesion.
The only thing I will say about it is I want more Morpheus. He seems to be the only person who, you can imagine the director going, right, Morpheus, this is your story, but just move to the side a little bit and just be
Yeah,
quiet. Just
I
quiet and
agree.
just move to the side. And when he's got a voice as great as Tom Sturridge has got, it's just like, I want more Morpheus. But I'm absolutely loving it. Absolutely loving it. So yeah, get on it. Even if you had some slight issues with series one, for me, this nails those narrative issues of the first series.
I think you've persuaded Simon. I think you should give it another
I'll probably
shot.
give it
Give
another
it a
go.
go. Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah, you gave that a 9. I'm definitely going to spin that up. Strange New Worlds. It's the third season. They've actually brought it to an end. They cancelled it after four, apparently. They renewed it for a fourth and then cancelled it. And then there was some back and forth. And then they begged for a fifth because it was always planned for five seasons. And they've got
Very
an
Trek.
abbreviated five
They cancelled it
seasons.
in the future. Was that a time travelling cancel?
I think they basically said early they renewed it for three and four. And then when
Right.
it then they said, right, we're cancelling it after
Yeah,
that.
they looked at it and went, man, this is crap.
I think
Either
I
that or
don't
Anson Mount went, I am
know.
losing my hair. The amount of product I'm having to put on
Yeah.
here is doing permanent damage, man.
Can't get any
Permanent
bigger.
damage.
Yes, please. Yeah, it's gonna be
Best
yeah.
hair evs.
It
Working for
is.
the hair.
It is fantastic hair. Some of the promo shots of him with his hair, they're just
Amaze.
yeah, proper headroom style. They're really very good. I reread your review before watching the latest season, Mark, and I don't know whether it's going to all come together yet. I hope it does, but I mean, I agree with you that the thing about Strange New Worlds, the closest we've got to since original Trek, for good or
It's still
bad,
miles away from me, though, isn't it?
it is. But original Trek is nostalgically amazing, but it still scats around all over the place like a headless chicken. And
Yeah.
Strange New Worlds does the same thing, and in 2025, I don't know whether it's as endearing.
No, I'm going to pull you up a little bit on that. I think the original series, it was all episodes of the week. They were all episodes of the week. There was no
There was never any
season-long
continuity.
overarching
No.
narrative because they just couldn't. They wouldn't do it. The way that TV was shown and all that with the reruns and all that kind of stuff, it just never happened. So what Strange New World does is it tries to have its cake and eat it, and it tries to balance those season-long arcs with too many of those standalone ones.
Episodes of the week,
And they
yeah.
never get the blend right because the tonal shifts between some of them, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love watching it because it's kind of like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to get this week. What kind of episode am I going to get? Oh, I don't know.
Well,
It's going to
but
be a
you knew
musical
last
episode or it's going to
season.
be a
That's why I
serious
don't
one.
get on with it.
But
That's exactly why I don't get on with it. You never know what you're going to get, and I just can't bear it.
I
It's
don't
just
mind
too
that, but
much, man.
just wish it would pick a lane. And it's kind of, and the fact has, after two episodes, you said it's done exactly the same. It's got the serious continuation from the cliffhanger of series two, and
Yeah.
then a completely, fripperytastic second episode. You just think
Yeah.
it's just going to do the same, innit? But
It needs
maybe that's what it is.
a new villain. It needs a new focus because it's the same as the last season, and it's exactly the same format. In the last season, they like teased it in episode one and didn't follow through until a cliffhanger end. Now
That
they've done it again.
annoyed her.
But I do enjoy it. I love the characters, love his hair. I've got a lot of time for it, and I'll watch it no matter what. I just, in
I
reading
will.
your review, I'm with you. Maybe it needs to come together, and knowing it's gotta run its course in like 5 years' time. But anyway, at the end of a fifth season, I hope they just go, right, we're gonna have this narrative until then. And not just spin out their current villains with episodes of the week until 2030.
I mean, they could still do it, but just it was just such hard stops between the season. Like you said, last season it was the first episode and the last episode were the season long arc episodes, and it's like, come on, just seed it through and have a bit more of it. They just need to tighten up on the writing. That's all. Anyway,
So
sure.
that gets a tentative seven off the first two episodes. Let's see what happens next. In our disc versus digital pros and cons, I'm going to pull up the Amateur because I reviewed the 4K release of the Amateur. It's a lovely disc and a surprisingly enjoyable movie. It's like law-abiding citizen crossed with spy game, crossed with probably mechanic resurrection. I mean, it's its own stupid genre mashup. I know everyone's scrunching up their faces. That's what it felt like whilst
It's the
watching it.
fact you said mechanic resurrection of all the
Yeah.
bloody crappy
Where did that
films.
come
That's the
from?
one you went with.
Yes. You know what? I really thought this was straight to DVD, DTV nonsense, right? Larry Fishburne, he's more hit than miss, and he stars in a lot of low rent stuff when he's not doing like John Wick. Rami Malek, I don't know whether I was sold on him being frontlining this spy thriller. I just thought it was going to be one of those Dash Light movies and straight to streaming. And you know what? If it had gone straight to streaming, I think it would have been praised more openly. They released it in cinemas. I don't think that's a great fit for it. I wrote this off, and watching it in 4K, had a lot of fun with it. You know, it's a different kind of movie. He's a different kind of protagonist. The fact that I've mentioned a bunch of movies that shouldn't go together, that they've kind of blended into this, it's nice. I could throw Saw in there too. There you go. Have Saw as well. There's a mental amount of incongruous movies that they've kind of thrown together to create a spy thriller. I mean, it's essentially a spy thriller, but it's a little bit different. And I found it pretty entertaining. Fishburne's good, Malick's good, well
This is on
cast.
disc and Disney.
So this is the problem. This is the problem. I get it on disc, I watch it on disc, I review it favorably, and it's out on Disney. What do you do, really? I mean, in the review, I'm like, no one's going to take a gamble on this and buy it for a 25 quid disc. Not when they can flip it on Disney and go, hey, this is why I pay my subscription every month, so they can drop gems once in a while. Because on Disney, it is absolutely a gem. It is a nice find to watch on a day when you can't really see what's going on. It's something new. It's pretty entertaining. It's in 4K, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. What am I paying for the disc? For this movie, I'm not saying for Golden Era classics. I'm not saying for importing Way of the Gun. I'm saying for this movie, what am I paying for the disc? It's just, if they wanted to release it on Disney, which was, a no-brainer considering it's a Century Fox's 20th whatever production. I mean, if they wanted to release it on Disney, maybe stagger it a bit because I can't
Or put the
see.
disc at 20 quid.
Put the disc at 20 quid. Give
19.99,
it
like all the Warner stuff.
a 3 month window like they do theatrical before they release it on Disney Plus, or don't release it on disc, just stick it on Disney Plus. I don't know, it just seems like a ridiculous price that very few people would go, I can't have 6 months subscription to Disney Plus and the movie instead. Zodiac's a different story though for you, isn't it, Mark?
Great film.
Well, to be
Great
fair, I
disc.
think this is a story of disc versus digital.
Yes,
So
US. Yeah.
the UK disc seems to be the worst viewing option at this moment in time.
What's that about?
Given that it is a 2K intermediate, it's given a very nice polish, but this is an upscaled 4K image. The transfer on the UK disc is HDR10 only. The transfer on UK iTunes gets a Dolby Vision pass, as does the US disc gets Dolby Vision. Now, interestingly enough, excuse me, given it's such a morose looking picture, because it's
Yeah,
deliberately
pretty dull.
drab, it's drained, it's got that 70s vibe. I doubt a Dolby Vision pass is going to suddenly turn this into, searing eye candy. But still, it's the of it all, and it's that that annoys people. It annoys me, and even the bit about the director's cut only being in 1080p, that doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as this. And to be fair, on my projector, I can't even watch it in Dolby Vision anyway. So I'm being grumpy, or it's one of those really, really strange reasons. Now, I think the reason for this is it's different distributors. So in the US, it's Paramount; in the UK, it's Warner. But I do not understand why Warner Digital gets a Dolby Vision upgrade and the disc doesn't. The only thing I can think of is it's just budget reasons.
I suspect, I'm just speculating here, but the Dolby Vision upgrade for digital media is a much more blanket pass kind of upgrade. It's much more automated than the ones that get proper Dolby Vision
Possibly.
grading on disc.
Possibly.
Because you see it loads. I've seen a lot of movies in Dolby Vision on digital that
Yeah,
still don't compare favorably.
but I think that part of the reason for that is the extra bandwidth that Dolby Vision meta layer gives can actually enhance the digital picture more than it does on disc. So maybe there is a
Yes, yes.
quality issue here by giving it to digital rather than disc. But still, it's just one of those things where people are going to look at it and go, I'm not going to buy that UK disc. I'm either going to go for the digital, which will probably be 5 quid rather than, 20 quid, or I'm just going to go and import the US disc if I want the best quality ever. So it just feels like a really half-assed UK disc release. That sort of is the worst of both worlds.
Which kind of brilliantly brings us to the question that you promised you would answer by
I will.
yourself,
I will.
which is, please tell us, is 2025 the year that we should get into collecting 4K discs? I don't mean us, because damn it, I've been collecting since like VHS,
Yeah.
but yes, if you were
So,
new to it, fresh to it.
right. So the answer depends on the C word. That's the word I do not like, collecting. I see it everywhere. You go to YouTube and people talk about physical media collections. I'm a collector, and it makes my skin twitch because we're not collectors, we're film fans. We're into this because we like the films. Now we decide on what format we want to get the film in, but we are here first and foremost for the films. Now, would I want to get into 4K discs to have the best audio and visual quality and some of the best releases? 2025 year is turning into a banner year. You only need to look at what Hammer are putting out for their first few releases. You need to look at what Arrow are now doing. 88 Films doing, the boutique labels are regularly churning out high quality discs, which are far and away the best quality releases we have ever had in the marketplace, ever. However, price gouging is starting
It
to
is
get
at a
a
cost, yeah.
little bit tricky. And this is where, for me, I think being a film fan can sit alongside being a disc fan. And I regularly purchase digital films to go alongside my disc collections. I mean, I remember in the glory days of DVD, you'd blind buy crap you've never heard of just because, oh, it had a good cover. Oh, I'll have that. Boom. Before you know it, you've dropped 20 quid on a film that's absolute arse. I've all done it. I've done it from VHS all the way through.
You
But
still
in
do
this, still do it. But in this day and age, when we have options, and yes, I know I'm going to use the word purchase for digital purchases, and I don't want to get into the whole, well, you don't really buy it, you don't really
ownership,
own it,
yeah.
it's a license, all that crap. To differentiate it from streaming, watching a film on a streaming platform like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Paramount, I'm going to talk about those films you purchase from the likes of, I mean, I use iTunes, Movies Anywhere in the US. For me, if there is a film I am uncertain about, I don't want to take a risk on, but I don't want to drop 25 quid for fear it might be a complete bag of old arse, I'll go and drop 2.99 and have it on iTunes. And that way, can watch it. And if it is a load of old bin juice, I've wasted 3 quid, but it's not a problem. Whereas back in the day, I'd have dropped 25 quid on absolute bin juice and been really grumpy about it. So for me, and I think this is one thing, I've seen a number of videos on YouTube recently about people who say, oh, collecting physical media is starting to get on top of me. It's all getting a bit much. FOMO and so many multiple releases. It's like, Jesus Christ, people, what's going on? This is supposed to be a hobby. We're supposed to have pleasure in this. But it's because people automatically now equate owning a physical media with being a collector. And I push back against that. I do not consider myself a collector first and foremost. I mean, I must be, because look, this is Jesus Christ, I've got walls and walls downstairs of it. But I don't consider myself a collector. I consider myself a film fan who likes to own his films in the best format possible for his favorite films. And I like to have a digital library full of old bin juice that I can just scroll through and check out. And honestly, even new releases are fairly cheap if you know where to look. So I think, yes, it is a great year to get into 4K physical media, but not as a collector. Get into it as a film fan. Pick and choose those films you want. Don't be worried about these Mantalab releases that are 250 quid for one film. Jesus, don't chase this. I need a steel book from that retailer and a steel book from that re. No, the film wants, man. It's the film. Be a film fan, and if you can go into it as a film fan, I think this is a great year to get into 4K. But with prices being what they are, you've got to do it sensibly. You've got to do it carefully, and is all I have to say on this subject.
No, I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
It's just
nice. You make good
maybe
points.
undermined a tiny bit by Mac and Me versus Way of the
Shut
Gun.
up! Shut up! I tell you what the episode is, and ironically enough, I've never seen Mac and Me, so that is a blind buy, which could be complete bin juice.
I got it because I'm collecting all the Vinegar Syndrome discs and refusing to call them a collection. Yeah. I mean,
No, I'm free to call myself a collector. What I am is a cinematic masochist. I'm not a collector.
I wonder what it's like if you like movies, but because I have come across more than one individual who expresses this, but don't like old movies. I wonder what that's like for collecting 4K because
Well,
I think
4K, yeah, but
they get some of the best discs out there.
exactly. It's brilliant. I mean, look at what we've had with North by Northwest. We've
No,
got bloody.
I'm saying the opposite. It works for us. I'm
Yeah.
saying I've had people say to me, I like movies, but not really old
Oh,
movies.
that's fine. I mean, they can
No,
buy
it
what they
is fine,
like.
but so my argument here is the bumper years that we've all been enjoying are Sorcerer and Way of the Gun. They're Cobra. They're bloody Lost in Space next month. They are titles which really you're not going to
Lost in
sell.
Space.
They're
Kaz,
not,
come
I
on.
know, they're not going to sell a great deal of people on these things that aren't of a certain kind of generation.
No, but and I saw something today which said I think this is the first month, I think it was almost ever, that UHD purchases exceeded DVD purchases.
Wow.
This
Wow.
is the
Okay.
first month that that has happened, or was it last month? It was either last month. It was probably June. I think it was either May or June. Is the first month that UHD purchases. Well, it's things like it's your
That's
sinners.
amazing.
Your new
Yeah.
films, though, when you get your sinners coming out. I mean, just look at what June and June, June Part Two.
Yeah.
Those are the films that people will fall over themselves to get on 4K because it is spectacular eye candy. So
I mean,
I
I
think
hope
that
so. I hope so. I just
God,
can
they will.
imagine a lot of people going because I can really notice the difference on the older films. I don't get me wrong. I love having newer films in the best format possible. I'm just not entirely sure it's as good an argument as how spectacular some older films look on disc.
Well, but
But
again, it comes back to be a film fan first and foremost. And do you know what? If you don't like old films, well, you're wrong. But that's okay. I
no,
can respect that. So
you
don't
can't.
then.
I can't either. It's okay.
Well,
I wasn't.
no. But again, it is. It's back to the be a film fan first of all. And if all you like are sort of new shiny films from the last 20 years that you can get from the major studios, then do you know what? Fill your boots. There are still
There are still loads of them.
fantastic 4K UK UHD discs of those that you can have your 70-inch OLED and all that still looking as great as you want it, and that's absolutely fine. There are still, and the good thing about those are the prices do start to come down fairly quickly. The 2 for 30 offers. I mean, you're now even getting boutique label releases regularly in the 2 for 30 offers. So, I think it still applies as long as you are the film fan first and you go after what you want in the most appropriate format and way of doing it. So I think it still stands, even though they are completely army,
Yeah. I mean that month where 4K exceeded DVD. I'm just curious, did it coincide with our podcast coming back?
It must have done.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
just saying,
Must
just
design,
saying.
yeah. Of course it is.
Which brings us to how on earth, I mean, how long have we been doing this? We're going to do the how long have we been doing this and how it happened. So I'm going to talk to Mark, who's the baby.
I'm the new,
You are the
the new, the
new. And for some
new.
reason, it says we all joined in 2005. I think that's just a made-up year. But you've been writing your COS reviews under your pseudonym since 2014?
Yeah, I just cropped up, and it's like I'd realized that by the time it was 2014, I'm never going to be the best guitar player in the world. I'm never going to be the most intelligent or handsomest person in the world. I'll get close, but not quite. But probably the one thing that I do better than anyone I know, and I include you two in this, is I watch more films than anyone. That's it. That's what I do. I watch more. So
Maybe now,
therefore,
but a few years
no,
ago when
even then.
Kaz first started, he had to give you a run for his money then.
Yeah,
Yeah, but
you only trump me with these goddamn six film box sets that you have to review for one entry in your top 10.
you mean that you
Back
send
in
me?
the day,
Yeah.
I
Swine.
was you.
You
Anyway,
were.
yes.
Anyway.
So I was just on the phone and I just thought, you know what? I might as well channel all this wasted time into something and start to throw the odd, stuttering review out on the various threads since 2014. And then strangely, I came to you, Kaz, in 2021, and I just pinged you a DM and just said, look, if you ever want to use any of my witterings on the floor, on the site, turn it into an article or anything like that, feel free. And you said, please review for us, we're
I did.
dying. Please.
I mean, I pretty
That
much
was
did.
it.
I said I want to turn it into an article, the top 10 article every month, and I'd like some disc reviews. And I mean, it just snowballed from there.
Went from there because you realized I would watch any shit. Literally, any shit
Yeah,
that we got sent, I would watch.
it was,
Yeah.
and I mean. I guess it's just the three of us at the moment. And Si, you don't love going to the cinema.
Not as much as you guys. I can live without it now.
Yeah, and I think post-COVID, I really struggled to get back into going to the cinema. I found picking up stuff on digital during the COVID era just so much easier. And it took a while before there was a movie or two that would really get me into the cinema. Whereas you, Mark, you would just see anything.
I hate
I
my
mean,
family, so any excuse is that simple.
you would see anything at the cinema, and I think that that was hugely beneficial.
It's well, I
It's
mean, just so the dear readers know how much of the AV Forum's whipping boy I am, the title that Mr. Harlow sent me this very week for me to watch is called I Am Frigid. Why?
But we
That's
did
it.
it.
That's it. I've got to watch that. And do you know what? I will, because Harlow sent it me. And I mean, I wouldn't mind. Last month, the one I didn't watch that is supposed to be quite good was called Sex Ride a Wet Highway.
It's supposed to be good.
It's supposed to be great, but
It's
with a
supposed
title
I
like
told you, yeah, it's
Sex Ride
supposed
a
to be
Wet
good.
Highway.
And you wrote it off. You judge the book by the name.
But when you send me 28 films and go, you can only write about 10 of them, it's like, Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Well, something has to go.
Oh.
Anyway, do you want to know how many films I have officially reviewed for AV Forum since
How on earth did you
2021.
get that number?
I
Oh my
know, you
God.
see.
Go on, tell me.
I have reviewed 913 films in 4 years.
Really? Wow. Wow.
Yes.
That's
Where'd
a
you get that
lot.
number from?
Well, what I do on my Letterboxd, all my AVF reviews, I have a little tag called AVF review, so I know
Okay.
instantly.
All
So
right.
913 films. Obviously, it's helped by my at least between 10 and 15
Oh, okay,
every month in the top tens, and then all
okay.
the other stuff. So yeah, so 913 in 4 years.
That's
Good
pretty cool.
God. Well,
913.
obviously it's stick a note on for the amount of reviews you guys have done, but
Well, I
you're
mean, when
considerably
I was
older.
running this, when I was running the site, Kaz would regularly do 200, 210 in a year when we were doing DVDs back in the day. Because I used
Wow,
to total up all the discs that we did, just so that Stu had a list of what we'd done,
it
and
was
for
about
ourselves,
20 a month. Yeah, it was
it
about
was
20 a month.
insane numbers.
It was a lot. It's not ridiculously different now. It's about 20 a month.
Yeah, but
Because,
it's not just
but it's
it's not
not
just
just
discs.
discs. No, or
No,
loaded.
no, no. It's a whole bunch of other stuff that takes infinitely less time to do than the disc.
Solely discs now, is it? We look at other stuff. We do the discs. Yeah, so you got into it because you just enjoyed it and just thought, oh, I'll do
Yeah, it
this.
was
And Kaz, and you said, Kaz,
I'm
use me,
yeah,
and you.
simply that. That's all it was. I
Well,
approached
you
him.
just
He
enjoy
said, yeah.
writing. You've got a. You
Yeah,
just
that
enjoy
simple.
the
It's
fact of
talking.
putting finger to keyboard to say, look, this is what I think of this film.
Well, it's. I mean, I think maybe. Am I? There's obviously an element of the egotist in all of it. Let's be honest. We are putting our views out there in the hope that others will listen. I think, I mean, I know I watch so many more films off the beaten path, shall we say, and some of them just deserve to have more recognition, more people know about them. I mean, films like Benson and Moorhead's Spring, I will say that is one of the greatest films of this millennium, and not enough people have watched it. So those are the films that I would really do all the right for, say, no, look, this film is amazing. Whoever's listening, watch this film. Get this film, it's brilliant. That's kind of why I did it in the forums, and now I'm just doing it but get paid for it. So, it's a win-win.
It's quite interesting because what you said there, because to put yourself out there is not for everyone. Psychically, we've gone through trying to get new reviewers periodically throughout the years, and it's one of the hardest things to do because everyone can criticize what's already been written, but to actually put it out in the first place is very difficult. And you've got to have you say egotistical. I'm not quite sure that's quite the right word. Some people just do it because they love it. It's I don't know. It's a lot of people when I would go through people we used to have on the old forum, write your own review, and periodically I would go through some of these things. Oh, that was quite a good bloke. And I'd write to the person, say, look, you've done really well here. Do you fancy coming on board as one of our staff writers and reviewing discs? It's not just a film. You see, this is where I think a lot of people fall down. It's not just a film. A lot of people can write their opinions on a film, but when you've got to start looking at the picture and the sound and the extras, that's where a lot of people fall down. I mean, I started reviewing. I've been reviewing for the site since 2005, but previous to that, I was on DVD Debates, which is where I
Yep,
first met
DVD
you, Kaz. But
debates. DVD
previous to that,
debates.
I just used to do it for. Oh, what was it? Film 4 Forum, maybe? I can't remember. But right back in the early days. And I used to do it just because I enjoyed writing about films. But like what you're saying there, Mike. I love watching the films. And I just write a bit about it and say, oh, this is quite good. I wonder if anyone else would like to, is
Yeah, totally.
interested, if they're interested in what I've got to say about it. And point it out, and there it goes. And then when I came to DVD Debates, there was a little bit more because DVD was just coming out then, obviously, and nobody was too much interested in VHS, but DVD was a brand new format, and it had a better picture and it had better sound, and it was all digital, la da da da. So
Extras,
there
that
was
was the
more
one.
extras. There was more to talk about as a disc review, and I've always classed myself as a disc reviewer rather than a film critic or a film reviewer. And DVD Debate, I don't know how I've done there, 30 or 40 reviews, I think. And then the site, when I joined, I can't remember when you joined, Kaz, but when I was doing it, was on its decline. Chris was starting to step back a bit when it on the site, and I said, look, I can't do it, you've got to do it. And he said, I'm not going to do it, you're not paying me enough, essentially. And eventually he just pulled the plug. And that's when Phil wrote to you, me, and the other Chris McEnany, wasn't it? They were the three guys who came here, and it was a lot more. What I found the transition was a lot more professional because
It was
we all
total
had to have.
DVD back then, wasn't
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That's right. Yeah. It was less about the film and more about the picture and the sound, the AV, obviously. So we all had to have similar or comparable sets. We all had to have calibrated picture and sound so that we were all writing from the same base
Course.
level. Okay, now that's got a lot easier now because we've got TVs have got the filmmaker mode, so you don't have to have the calibration thing. We went on that ISF course
Calibration
a
thing.
million years ago
We
so that
did.
we could do it ourselves, so that we were all on the same level at the same time. So we prided ourselves not only on that we were completely independent and our views were our views, but we had the knowledge to back up what we were saying in both picture and sound. And we used to write mammoth reviews. My God, do you remember some reviews? I don't know, 2,000 reviews, pages and pages. Well, that's when it was a forum, wasn't it? We didn't have the front page that we have now. It was literally a forum. We used to write these huge things, and there was a great deal of freedom about it, and it was hugely enjoyable. That's when Damon, I think Damon was running the site back in those days, right at the very, very
Yeah, he
beginning,
was
wasn't
running
it?
the
That was so,
movies.
I mean, we're going back 20 years. That's how long we've been doing it. And
20 years.
it's got better and better and better over the years. When I was running a place, we used to have a deal with was it Zavvi? Were they
It
called
was
Zavvi
Zavvi,
then?
yes. Yes, we had a
I
deal
can't
with
remember.
Zavvi.
But before Zavvi, we had I got some stuff from Yes Asia.
Deep
We had
discount. Deep
discount,
discount.
was it?
Oh, deep discount. I'm pretty sure it was deep discount and somewhere else.
There was another
Movie
American
time.
firm, Movie
Movie
Time.
time.
Yes, we had Movie Time.
Yes. We had movie time.
Oh,
They were
these are blasts from
great.
the
Yeah.
past. These
Yeah,
are.
and there was one more. I can't remember one that closed down. We were working with them really, really closely. So what we do, we would write these reviews, we would post them up, and we give these guys banners at the top and bottom of the reviews. So we would get the discs from them for nothing. They were just sending the discs, but they would get their money, if you like, in the advertising top and bottom of the reviews. And we used to do, oh, I don't know, you were doing A
10,
lot.
15 a month. Chris was doing the same. I scaled back a little bit, then I was only doing, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Yeah, a lot. And that's just the
And
discs.
that's just the
And
disc.
by then, we'd taken over and started doing cinema reviews on top of it because we started off just discs and there were no
That's right.
movie reviews. And then movie reviews came in.
We've been through a whole lot of reviewers. I mean, at our peak, we had half a dozen at least. What I brought on those what was her name, Sharona and Kiri, Kimmy, I can't remember the two girls that used to write for us, the
Yeah.
cinema reviewers,
Yeah.
Shauna. I can't remember the names now.
Sharuna? It's
Oh, I can't.
Sharuna. Yes.
Yeah, it was Sharuna. Yeah.
It was,
Yes.
wasn't it? And
Yes.
yeah, so you know, we had a there was a lot of us doing it at one time for the love of the movie, right?
It was,
And we
yes.
used
Yes.
to, and it was great. I mean, the stuff we've got, it's a shame a lot of it went in the transition of the sites. A lot of this stuff we did, particularly DVD, because nobody's really interested in DVDs now.
Yeah.
So you to find that stuff. What's Stu showing there? That is, there
The
you go.
list. Yes.
And
Sharuna and
we're
Kamari were the two that
Kamari,
you brought along.
that's the girl.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic writers, absolutely brilliant writers, you know, just awesome stuff.
So how
But
do
they were
you
only
so
cinema because they didn't have the set up the kit at
yeah.
home to be able to review the
Yeah.
discs.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
because
that's
we still
understood.
had to have a level that was comparable to our
Yeah, no,
readership.
of
Yeah, we
course.
had to have,
Of
you know,
course.
fairly, doesn't have to be super high end, but it has to be, you know, mid to high end
Kit,
kit,
yeah.
so that we've got that we can evaluate the disc correctly. You know, it's meaningful
Yeah,
when
totally.
you're writing this stuff. It's meaningful to people who read it. Yeah, and
So
that.
how?
Go on.
No, you carry on, because I'm going to ask
So
Kaz
it's
this
just
as well.
the way that we have to put ourselves out there is and literally we're putting. I mean, it's our thoughts. But you know, we are accountable for what we write, and I personally take that quite seriously, you know, because what we do, we are putting stuff out there that people are basing decisions, they're purchasing decisions
Oh,
on it, you know,
totally.
so we kind of have to take this stuff seriously. I know we'd laugh a joke about it, but we do have to take it fairly seriously at the point of
Yeah.
pressing the go button or the publish button or whatever it is nowadays.
No, totally. So I'm going to ask you two then, having done this for over 20 years, have you seen the reactions to the reviews differ? Have you seen people engage with the reviews in a different way? Does it feel
Yes.
different?
I mean, for me, yes. I think that the chat around discs is practically non-existent in comparison to what it was like before. Almost entirely focused on the score. It's never like that before. It, and it would just be people chop, now people are chop, coming along and they're just criticizing the score and they've got nothing much more to say about anything. But there was a lot more interest in discs back in the
Interesting. And
day. And the
you guys.
chat here is, in my opinion, much more focused to digital and cinema releases, maybe even TV shows. There's a lot more back and forth about the actual content.
Yeah, interesting. Because he's, and we won't get into numbers and stuff like that, but obviously, I mean, we see views on some of this, and regularly, you've said, Kaz, that the most random, inane, digital piece of fluff will crown the best disc
I would
review,
say, yeah,
in
I would
terms of
say
number of
that
views.
the digital reviews, I guess there's some element of, let's be honest, 4K is still a bit of a niche. You say it outsells DVD, but does it really out,
Only
does
once.
it, yeah, does it really match up to the number of people who just flick on their TV and say, hey, what can I watch right now? And the number of people who do that, they're the people who are interested in watching the amateur on Disney right now. And as you say, something like that'll boost 4K views. But otherwise, they're going to be looking at the, digital release of Karate Kid Legends more than they're going to be looking at, I don't know, Zodiac.
Yeah,
It's
no, of course.
it's an interesting thing, but is still a, it's people like us who are interested in the discs, and I think that the wider population, it's captured the idea of what can I watch in the moment right now and how, is kind of the vibe we're getting, and it's part of what informs our podcast. But I just
Yeah,
want to
no.
say, I came in, it's interesting hearing your background into it. I came in at slightly different. I mean, I have been writing since I was a kid, writing fictional stories, and I went through a
Published writer.
phase when I was, as if I went through a phase when
I've
I
seen the
was
book.
when I was like a very young preteen, very interested in movies and a writer. I used to write books within cinematic universes just because I loved the
Fan
stories.
fiction, you
Yeah,
pervert.
I did. I did. And nominally, it was for books and stories where the characters
Twilight,
that I
just admit it,
loved
Kaz. It was Twilight.
had died or left on a cliffhanger or something. Anyway, I went through this whole phase when I was very young. And as I got more and more into movies, I got more and more into interest in writing, but day jobs take over. And I kept up my movie collecting. Stroke
Yeah.
buying, stroke whatever, yeah, whatever you want to call it. I was the guy with all of the VHS cluttering his room, and then DVD came out. I was like, God damn, I'm gonna have to shift all of this VHS and get all DVD. And back then, HMV would just take it all back from you and give it to you on DVD because they had no idea they were going bankrupt. And so I managed to make the transition to DVD a bit smoother. But at some point in that whole era between 2000 and 2004, I realized that I could take my writing and I could take my grabbing every movie I could possibly get on every format and combine them into just getting them for free. And my word, when I started, I got none of the movies I wanted. I
None.
saw all of the stuff that would be in your top 10, Mark. It was
Sex Rider, Wet Highway.
insane the stuff I got.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, I'd take you'd have to take anything.
Yeah,
When you
because PR
started,
companies, I mean, they're very
yeah,
similar now, aren't they? They don't send you the
they
finished thing. They
yeah,
just send you a check disc because they're worried about, I don't know, whatever they're worried about, whatever it was. And
yes,
you would just get it and say, review it. Because if you didn't get in with the PR companies, you wouldn't get any disc review. Because we had no
yes.
budget to buy the stuff, it's the
So
only way we could do it was from PR companies.
PR companies were like the meat of it, and I just did whatever they said, and I got into the habit of that. But I always, interestingly, the opposite of Simon, I always was interested in writing about the movie. But the only way I could get the disc, because I loved movies so much, was really by learning about the rest of it. But the movie has always been the most interesting part for me. The rest of it, really, in the day of 4K, I only really struggle with discs where there's something manifestly wrong with it that makes me go, yeah, I can't really recommend that. And ironically, they're all my most controversial reviews. Yeah, I can't recommend Heat. What do you mean it's too dark? I mean, like it's always stuff like that. By and large, most modern 4K releases are pretty good. You have to really dig deep to go, yeah, this isn't as good as it could be. So it's always been the movie for me. But we had a real phase. We were driven by PR, and then we got all these people who were giving us discs. We ordered all the sponsors, like you
That's
said,
right, yeah.
Savvy and Movie Time and everywhere. And then was our peak. We got all the latest releases, but we didn't get them until after release. And
We had to get them done in 48 hours.
We had to turn them around really quickly,
Really, really
and you had
quickly.
to put the orders in, and you never knew whether they would actually send you the discs. They were really like, send us an order for like 500 quid's worth of movies, we might send them to you. And then they'd all suddenly arrive, and it would be like, right, how are we going to get these done? That was that period. But we had a goal in those days that we were going to cover every single HD, DVD, and Blu-ray release.
Yes.
Wowza.
Oh,
Every
damn.
single one.
Surely you never did
Yeah.
that. You don't
We
keep up,
managed to keep it up for
surely.
quite a long
Yeah,
time,
we
and then
did.
we lost
Bloody
all the
hell.
sponsors. And a really interesting transition. So the last few years, I've been trying my best to just build the relationship with the PR company in such a way that we get out ahead, and that makes up for the fact that we don't have all the coverage of everything necessarily all the time, but we have advanced coverage of a lot of stuff. I mean, we get a lot of Arrow discs 2 months in
88
advance of
Films,
release. Yeah,
Iranians,
88
all
Films,
those will be
yeah.
getting. I've got an October disc
And
already.
yeah, exactly. And they're really nice about it. Yes, they're just check discs, which is really coming full circle to how I started in this.
Yeah.
But, there are some nice ones. They send out some nice
Yeah.
releases. And it has been a big ass journey. But I have, I don't know. My love of film is what drives it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting there getting a Lionsgate limited steelbook on import from eBay just because I want to talk about Way of the Gun. I mean, that's what it is. It's
Totally. I think what's really interesting is there were a couple of, I won't say challenges, but at the start of this year there were a couple of comments about why are you reviewing movies? You're an
Oh
AV
yeah,
side. Just
yes.
do the
Yeah.
AV side of
Why are
it.
you reviewing movies?
And it irked me. We ended up having a decent sort of back and forth about it with a guy on the forum, and it was all fine. It wasn't being, nasty or miserable about it. It was just one of those. But I can go to Letterboxd for my movie review. And what I find interesting about that is I am a big user of Letterboxd, and there is a real dearth, I think, of meaty reviews out there. Sure, you can look at sort of, go to your mainstream media and stuff like that, your Empire and stuff like that. But if you start to go to the forums and stuff, I know people say, well, I just trust people on the forums, not these professional critics or whatever, if you like. But I still think that there is a place for meaty, thoughtful reviews that really do get into the weeds with these films. Because for me, when someone says, "What do you think of that film?" What they're expecting is, "It was all right,
Yeah, I
fine."
agree.
And to me, a film is never just fine. There's always, well, I like that bit, I didn't like that bit. That bit was brilliant. That bit was a bit ropey. And there's nowhere really, I think, or there's not a lot of places where we can get into the real meat of it. Because again, back to what you said, Si, we're reviewing a disc, and yes, absolutely, the AV side of it is, what we're here for. But at the end of the day, it's about the film. So there's no point for me, and this is some of the conversations we get in about some of the scoring. If it's an arse film, it doesn't matter if it looks amazing or sounds amazing. It's an arse film, and therefore it's an arse disc. Gone are the days of film 4, picture and sound 10, overall release 9. And I think, just sort of been around, I think that the fact that we have the review, and then we have the ability for people to discuss it and talk about it and things like that. To me, I think that's, it's such a great community and a great place to come and do it, because we offer the best of both worlds. You look at the likes of Blu-ray.com, for example. They have their reviews, but that's it. There's no ability to then chat about that review with the review and engage with the reviewers and stuff like that
No,
we
it's
do.
just a disparate
And
thread on there. Yeah, I agree.
for me, the fact that we've got the official review, which is a more thoughtful, bigger, more detailed piece, then coupled up with the hundreds of other people going, well, it was crap, it was great, it was average, all this kind of stuff. You've got a huge resource then for people to absolutely, is it worth me dropping 20 quid on this? Is it worth me wasting a Friday night at the cinema on this? And I still, part of the only reason that I still do this, because you're right, Kaz. I remember you saying on the first day I did this, you'll never get rich, Mark. You'll never get rich off it, and you're bloody right. So why carry on doing it? So I just think it's a brilliant resource that we are able to put out there and to have people engage with us about it. And we do engage. Well, those of us that aren't called crust, we
Mate,
do engage with
I've had my
people.
time.
Yeah, I think. I mean, Simon does the right thing. I think the engagement's good. I think it's a. I mean, it is a brilliant resource in there. I think for I would say about people who read reviews and get hung up on the fact that they don't agree with the reviewer. I think the key to it is to find a reviewer that has similar tastes, who you trust in it. That's as simple as that. Because I've read plenty of reviews where I've gone, what the hell are they on about? And a slew of ones recently where you'd give like Where the Gun a 5 out of 10, or you just give really arbitrary scores that I personally wouldn't agree with. That's not a reviewer that I'm ever going to trust, and there's no point having a go at that reviewer. That's just that opinion of that reviewer. But if you do find a reviewer you trust, I mean, it's gold dust. So I'd say I quite enjoy that over 20 years, you can tell some people do value your opinion. They don't always agree with you, but they like that when they read your opinion, they go, this stands a chance of being a good film, or this stands a chance of being a film I should really never pay money for. And I like that I can be trusted with that, even if newbies find it harder with me. The second thing that I've enjoyed since the days, Simon, when we did retrospectives on all the Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan movies. The days of we used to do 2,000 word retrospectives.
We did.
Back in those days, it was a different era. You would take a lot of time to find
You
everything
would,
you
yeah, you
could
would
about a
hours
production.
writing a,
I used to read some of the books that the movies were based on just to write that comprehensive review. And I know we don't write as lengthy reviews, but I will say that I try my best in most everything I write. And I notice this in both of your reviews as well, but I do it like on purpose. So I'm not expecting everybody to do it. I try and impart something interesting I've learned along the way that someone might not know. Even if it's culled from 1,000 different sources, there's something
Of
in there
course.
that I'd like to think that someone didn't know along the way. I think that that does give it an edge over freaking Letterboxd or Zavvi reviews or Amazon reviews or anything else where you can pick it up. I mean, I do think that after 20 years, there is a fine balance. We're not the average Empire quick critics who are going to take a lofty position and say our opinion is better than everyone else's. But conversely, we have enough experience to talk about a movie with all of that weight of experience behind us. Watched a lot of movies. I mean, you talked about 900. I think Simon's right. It's 20 to 30 a month for a 25-year period. I mean,
And
that's
how do you still write? Well,
five or six
detail is
thousand.
pretty good. The grain's all right and the colours are nice and rich. How can you write that 30,000 different ways? That's what I
Because
want to know.
that bit is not important. The only important bit about the picture and the audio for me is when it goes wrong. If the picture and the audio is a 9 or a 10, the words are not hard to write. When the words are hard to write is when it's not a 9 or a 10 for either of those scores. The
Nice.
rest of it is just about talking about the movie. Because 4K discs, by and large, in my opinion, should all be 9s and 10s in terms of AV. They should be. They should be
Should be,
really
yeah.
good. They should take the time, do the proper restoration, do the proper scan, do the proper encode. 9 out of 10. Nine or
So
ten.
where I know we've gone over long on this, but I think where it gets really interesting and really tricky is take the new James Bond set. There are people out there who know the exact pitch of every single word on every single soundtrack on every single film. I don't. I've seen the Bond films, 4 or 5 times in my life. I wouldn't know if I'm listening to a brand new remix, or if that word is has had, its last syllable clipped from the original Laserdisc audio and stuff like that. We're
I don't know. I don't. I don't.
not that. We're
I
not that,
don't
and I think
think we're not that.
I don't think that devalues your
no.
opinion, because quite frankly, I feel like I know the entire script of Lethal Weapon, and I have no issue with the sound of the shotguns. Okay,
You sure?
I really,
Everyone's got issue with it.
I know everyone's going to listen to that podcast and go, "Oh,"
Well,
but
you did say you preferred the director's cut, so
Yeah, so
yeah,
exactly.
okay.
So
Well,
therefore,
how can we
all
possibly
commentary is null and
take your
void.
opinion? Yeah, I know, I know.
Exactly.
I mean, really, I think that it's unlikely you're going to pick up all of these things. It's different if you told me that when Michael Mann does his tinkerings, you couldn't tell any difference. I would say that maybe you haven't watched the film enough not to be able to identify the differences, but to tell that he's done differences, I find it quite obvious because his tinkerings are normally to remove an ass out of a sentence, but he'll still remove an ass out of a sentence and you'll go, wait, isn't
No,
there one more line here or something's not quite flowing
you're
right
right.
here? So
You're
it's
right. I think that
whereas in Bond, that level of intimacy requires probably,
I think we strike the sweet spot because you're right. 99 people out of 100 who will watch it won't that won't be an issue. But for that one person who has lived and breathed those films and seen them 50, 60, 70 times over their life, it will be much more of an issue. But we can't, you almost like say, well, I can't cater for that 1%. I'm not saying it's not cater's the
You
wrong
can.
word.
You can cater for it. You can
It's
say,
the wrong word,
no,
but I think.
you can say for the vast majority, it won't, and we've said that a dozen times. Again, going back to Lethal Weapon in the review, I'm hoping it says in there. Who knows? ChatGPT probably wrote it. But I'm hoping it says in there something along the lines of you get the option of both of the soundtracks, and if you can handle the brand new sounding gunshots and shotguns, great. And if you can't, flip onto the other track. And hopefully, since you only have one option for the director's cut, the same people who want the perfect
No one's
original
watching.
audio
Yeah,
will
no one's watching
not
that, so
choose to
it's
watch the director's cut. So it's a win-win. If you're
exactly.
flexible enough to watch the director's cut, yay, new shotgun, woo.
Oh.
Anyway,
Right, come on, Kaz,
I mean,
bring us on home. We've been waffling on far too
we
long about
have.
how great we all are, and no
We
one's. Do
haven't.
you know what? Oh, Ben switched off hours ago.
It
This is a
did. It's 25-year journey, my friend.
honestly,
25-year journey.
he's like, so all those
He's
years,
as
Dad, you
old as my
weren't in my life.
son.
You left
Yeah.
us alone for all
For
those years. Now
this.
I know where you were, you bastard.
I
Don't let him off, Ben. Or at least make him buy
thought
you a bigger birthday present this
it
year.
was. It was really nice going back in time over that. We
It
should have
was.
done it sooner. That's it.
You
That's
old
all I got to
farts.
say on it. Do let us know if there's anything we've not covered that you think we should check out. That is it for the AV Forum Screen Time movie podcast thing this week. So my thanks to the team.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
It's been emotional. It's been a journey,
It's been a
a
something, isn't
25-year
it?
journey to get to this point.
What, to get to 9:20 at night? Anyway, if you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Plus, hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really like this podcast, then buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/avforums. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark avforums.com for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Plus, why not leave us a 5-star rating on whichever service you use if they allow it, but only if you enjoyed the show. Thank you for watching and listening, and join us for another podcast soon.
Doodle pip,
Bye.
y'alls.